When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Welcome in. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it. Okay, a lot to get to from over the weekend. I read something about how we're getting extraordinary results, and yeah. It was someone from the administration, and I was wondering exactly what they were talking about. I didn't know if they were talking about illegals crossing.
Well, that's been extraordinary, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that, yeah, it's like we've topped ourselves with that, yeah. Illegal immigration. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. This was Pete Buttigieg?
Yeah, the Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg, was sent out to defend the administration amid historically low approval numbers, most of that driven by the state of the economy, because even though you're going to have the data nerds going, well, I'm looking at the top line figures, and some of this is starting to cool off a little bit. Regular people still shop at Walmart, and they know that their grocery budgets are double what they were a few years ago. They understand this stuff. This is what he said, Mayor Pete, about the president's terrible polling.
We all know the economic pressure that Americans have felt when the president took office. The economy was flat on its back.
Okay. Honestly, I don't, at least independents don't believe that. They know better. They really do.
But we're also getting extraordinary results. More than 13 million jobs created. That's more than any presidential term in American history. And yes, it takes a while for people to feel.
Okay. Don't you think, at least when you see polling, people don't believe this at all? You can trot that out in all the jobs time and time again, but people see through it.
Well, it's the reason why they don't believe it. Gas is expensive. The groceries are expensive. They don't believe it.
Well, and you know, we mentioned this before. I mean, look, when you're opening up a new credit card in order to afford groceries or your electric bill, whatever necessities you need to make ends meet, you really don't care what the unemployment rate is. So you may not necessarily take the time to do the deep dive and find out, well, that's a lie, because you're really talking about jobs that came back after states started reopening for business again. Even if you ignore that, I mean, people do not care what the unemployment rate is when they're struggling, when they've gone backwards financially.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how they don't get that. Go ahead, Pete.
It takes a while for people to feel the full benefits of those results, just like it's going to take a while to build all of the infrastructure that we're now underway on.
Time out. Everyone's gone backwards.
Yeah.
The numbers show that. That's 3 years in a row. Family, their income down. 8%? I can't remember the actual percentage. I think it's 8%. That's significant, dude.
With the president's generational infrastructure bill, but he got the bill done after president, Congress after Congress couldn't make it happen. He did. We're getting the results on the economy.
Okay. All right.
Jeez.
Gotcha. How you doing as transportation secretary?
Right.
About as good as Biden's doing with the economy, dude. Yeah, it's just one failure after another, the duffel bag busting at the seams. Meanwhile, Joe Biden, you say, is getting a little worse.
He is.
Week by week by week, and I think you're right about that.
Dude, Joe Biden spoke at a Congressional Black Caucus event over the weekend and tried to talk about hip-hop.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Dude.
Oh, no.
Two of the great artists of our time representing the groundbreaking legacy of hip hop in America, LLJ Cool J.
Dude, that sounds like someone mocking Biden.
Right.
Introducing LL Cool J. Holy smokes.
LLJ Cool J. By the way, that boy's got, that man's got biceps bigger than my thighs. I think he's.
Who you calling Boy Joe?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Better not BLL.
Wow.
Ooh, buddy.
And MC Light, both of you, thank you. Because they both have the light off on the mic, you know you're all here to listen to the new edition. Mike Bibbins, 40 years producing music that lifts our soul.
What is he talking about?
Edition's producer?
Yeah, that was the new edition guy. And then so
Michael Bibbins.
Yeah. So I think it was supposed to be a reference to a lyric, and he just totally booted it. But what the transcript says is, because they're both have the night off on the mic, you know you're all here to listen to the new edition.
Oh, man.
Well, the writers have been on strike.
Right.
LLJ Cool J.
Did you ever meet LL Cool J Robbins in your top 40 days?
No, I never did,
I did.
Really?
Yes.
That's weird. Yeah, no, I never did,
In Minneapolis, a big convention. Yeah. Nice guy.
Just roaming around, probably.
Yeah, meeting people.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to say. Just like, hey, man, nice to meet you. I mean, I really don't enjoy your work that much, except Mama said knock you out.
I love gonna that. Knock you out.
But I'll tell you, yeah, cool enough guy.
LLJ Cool.
That would have been great. I wish I would have saw someone pull that one.
Yeah.
That would have been fun. Meanwhile, you know, we've got the story unfolding with Ukraine and the counteroffensive against Russia. And you are hearing people inside Ukraine saying this is a big disappointment. This is not what we thought this was going to be. And this war is just going to go on and on and on and on and on. Right. So we mentioned this last week. 60 Minutes did a big piece with Vladimir Zelensky, Ukrainian president. And then, of course, last week, all the pomp and circumstance with parading him around the United States saying, I need more cash, basically. And you should be honored to give it to me so we can fight this war, or, you know, Vladimir Putin's coming for you. Okay. So you wonder, where are Americans at on all of this right now? And you're looking at the polling, and there are a lot of people saying, hey, we've given enough at this point. Don't know how much more we should give, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody see the piece on 60 Minutes where they actually did the real reporting, unlike last week where they're talking about what we're doing as a country for Ukraine?
Oh, yeah.
I'll just play the clip.
American taxpayers are financing more than just weapons. We discovered the U.S. government's buying seeds and fertilizer for Ukrainian farmers and covering the salaries of Ukraine's first responders. All 57,000 of them.
How many people in America do you think know that?
Yeah, no. Yeah, residents of Maui, wow, who lost everything got $700.
Oh, my goodness. And it goes on.
That includes the team that trains this rescue dog named Joy to comb through the wreckage of Russian strikes looking for survivors.
Cute dog.
And the U.S. also funds the divers who we saw clearing unexploded ammunition from the country's rivers to make them safe again for swimming and fishing. Mm. Russia's invasion shrank Ukraine's economy by about a third. We were surprised to find that to keep it afloat, the U.S. government is subsidizing small businesses.
Well,
yeah.
Have you seen the streets of our large cities in the United States?
Well,
a lot of times, yeah, it looks like a third world country.
Well, a lot of small businesses have had to shutter their doors.
They have.
Because of what's going on the streets.
Hmm. So if that was the polling before people knew what's actually going on as far as how much we're funding, you wonder what it's going to be in the weeks to come. Because that's the whole thing. How long is this thing going to go on?
Well, again, we support things if we know what the end game is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, when is this over? When is this officially over? What has to happen for this to be done? No one explains that.
No,
no one
does.
It just goes on and on and on.
And when Poland says, you know what? No more weapons from us.
Right.
I notice our media doesn't report on that. Interesting, isn't it?
Right. Well, and they're trying to figure out what to do with all the Ukrainian refugees as well. I mean, Poland has been a major supporter, and
obviously
they're a border state, and so they want to know that they are protected from any further aggression from Russia. But, I mean, when they have questions about what are we supposed to do with these millions of people who have come into our country, and are the weapons that we are providing being used as efficiently and effectively as possible, And if the answer is no, yes, then you got to rethink what your investment is, because they're, you know, staring down the barrel of a potential invasion themselves from Russia, maybe down the road. They have to stockpile now.
Yes, no doubt about it. So more on that a little bit later. One of the big stories from the other day is Senator Bob Menendez being indicted.
Gosh.
Did you know why they're going after him? Because he's Hispanic.
Oh, please. No one said that.
He said it over the weekend.
He said it.
Yep.
You.
Yep, sure did.
God, you
absolutely
scumbag.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So New Jersey Democrat Senator Bob Menendez has been indicted over bribery allegations that he was getting cash and literal gold bars from Egyptian mobsters in exchange for regulatory help and information about the U.S. government. And apparently this scheme started around the same time the DOJ dropped another bribery charge against him back in 2018.
Yeah.
Dude, lay low for a couple of years.
Kept
dude.
Going. Yeah.
You know. So anyway, he's under indictment, and you've got some Democrats calling for him to resign, including Senator John Fetterman.
Oh, boy.
Who said Senator Menendez should resign. He's entitled to the presumption of innocence, but he cannot continue to wield influence over national policy, especially given the serious and specific nature of the allegations. I hope he chooses an honorable exit and focuses on his trial.
He didn't say it quite like that, though.
Well, what he actually said was...
This is a president that is committed to infrastructure. Yeah, and then on top of that, the jewel, kind of a...
Yeah, it sounded more like that, I think.
I just think, no, man. I don't think you should resign. I mean, part of the presumption of innocence is that you are actually innocent until proven guilty.
I had about three of our listeners this weekend ask me to ask you guys if you think how many bars of gold were sold for the enhancements to the wives area.
Man, I don't know. How much is the bar of that gold worth is what I want to know.
Well, he did too, apparently, because he Googled
it. Yes, he did.
He got home with some gold bars and then Googled how much is 1 kilo of gold worth.
Right, and really, he had to go to the plastic surgeon and just hand him a brick and say, here you go.
Wait. Oh, you know what we got to talk about? The ABC poll. With Trump over Biden, the numbers. Democrats are melting down. We will get to that much more coming up right here. All right. Good morning to Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. I've admitted it before. I don't watch the Sunday morning talking head show. It drives me crazy. I can get highlights. I know sometimes, Robbins, you don't follow doctor's orders and you actually watch.
You know what? I didn't this weekend. I watched the I shouldn't say that. I watched the opening segment of this week and then just I shut it off.
Oh, so you saw a little of Martha Raddatz.
I did.
Did you see the polling?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a little freak out going on.
There sure is.
With the Democrats.
That was fun.
Holy cow. Let's start here as Raddatz brings in their special analyst to talk about something that's, well, staggering.
Yeah, Martha, these numbers are simply staggering for the sitting president. 44% of people in this poll say they are not as well off as they were at the start of the Biden administration 2.5 years ago. Those are the worst numbers that we've seen in our ABC News, Washington Post polling. It's a question we've been asking going back to the Reagan administration.
Well, and then what they're talking about is something that we were actually just talking about. Yeah. People aren't buying this. Oh, well, jobs, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. No, you're going backwards as far as your own finances go. And then there's the question of age. But listen to Martha Raddatz set this up herself.
And it's not just the state of the nation or the policies that are giving people pause on President Biden. It seems to be the man himself.
Yeah, Martha, let's talk about age because we know for sure that...
Okay, so they go into age and it's 75%. Yeah, the guy's too old. 50% say Trump is too old. They're only 3 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
As we've talked about many times, it's, well... You see the decline from Biden. He looks like 110.
Yeah.
Or whatever age you think. And the part about Democrats actually wanting someone else on the ticket is interesting.
This is a question we asked. Should Biden be at the top of the ticket? 62% of Democrats and Democrat-leaning independents said they think that someone else should be the presidential nominee, although the party is deeply split on who that someone else should be.
Then we get to the bombshell, the biggie, that has Democrats terrified.
Roll it.
And Martha, maybe the most startling number in our poll is this, the hypothetical matchup, a rematch of Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. Our poll with the Washington Post pegging this at 51% for Donald Trump over Joe Biden. That is a 9-point edge. Now, that's only a couple of points difference from our last poll in May, but it is significantly different than most recent polls.
Well, it is. Yeah. I mean, if Trump's got a 9 or 10 point lead over Biden, I mean, that is an outlier of an outlier.
But it's still full on panic.
Yeah.
When you're reading the different pieces from Democrats, because you see it play out with people. And again, that other number, when people were talking about, hey, as far as Trump, when he was president, we have better feelings about him now than we did 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. Like, we're yearning for the good old days right now of 2019. That's really bad news.
Like I said, the indictment was a great victory for him.
Yes. And I don't know if it was
them. They always think
this
stuff's going to hurt him, and it never does.
Or NBC was saying everyone expected this to hurt him.
I know, exactly.
I'm like, who was everyone?
Well, I think conventional wisdom was, yes.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then you got, you know, the debates this week. But in your mind, I'll ask it now. We ask this every few weeks. Is this thing over as far as the primary for the Republicans?
I don't know if it's over or not. I mean, it's one of those things. You just kind of have to see how things roll out. I mean, I'll be honest with you, though. I forgot the debate was happening this week until you just mentioned it. If Trump's not there, I mean, what's going to move the meter?
Very interesting you say that, because I thought the same thing when I saw the promo run Sunday. I'm like, oh, hell, that's this week.
Yes.
I didn't even think about it. We do this every day.
I know. I was reminded of it this morning just looking at different news. I'm like, oh, yeah, to try it this week. But there's already this feeling, I'll just speak for me, that, yeah, we'll watch it. It's because it's what we do for a living.
Right.
And we'll talk about it the next day and, you know, who did well and who didn't. But is anybody really going to break out enough to make a difference?
I guess.
With the lead that Trump has right now?
Trump would have to be convicted and sentenced.
I mean, for him to not be the guy.
Right, the nominee, yeah.
Yeah, I don't see anything else stopping it at this point. Interesting day yesterday as far as the NFL. Everybody tired of the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce story already?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Already sick of that?
I texted both of you.
Yeah.
You're like, he's done. That's what you said. Two words. He's done.
Oh, yeah.
He's done. That dude.
You're messing with the mojo now.
He has no idea what he has brought into the house.
And all he's given her is two albums worth of material.
That's it. When I saw her sitting next to mom, though, I'm like, Al, this is the real deal. Well,
I think it's been going on a couple months. We talked about it. I mean, the New York Post had talked about this for a while. You know, this is what she does.
No, I know. They had a list. Of course, they always do this. The big list comes out.
Yeah.
Of all the people she's dated, like 14 people on the list.
And now she's doing the Super Bowl halftime show.
No.
No, she's not. Just kidding.
That would make sense, though, wouldn't
it? No, it's Usher.
It's Usher.
Yes.
Skinner gets hosed again.
Different people were saying, you know what? I think they're going to do some sort of rock act or, you know, bring in different artists. No, it's Usher. Who's excited?
Show of hands. None are up.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. Got a news update, and what's your story? Straight ahead right here. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Okay, one of the things that came out of the Sunday morning talking head shows, at least I think this is where this was from, is more Democrats not really putting their full confidence behind Kamala Harris.
Oh, no. No, I thought this was actually pretty remarkable and telling from an inside politics standpoint. Democrat Representative James Clyburn, this is the guy who got everyone to rally around Joe Biden in 2020.
Yes.
In that remarkable pre-Super Tuesday moment where basically everybody dropped out of the race in order to stop Bernie Sanders from winning the nomination.
You know who was leading Biden and delegates at that time?
Who's that?
Pete Buttigieg.
Right.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, you forget about that. Holy
cow. You really
do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
Elizabeth Warren stayed in just to make sure that Bernie wouldn't win Massachusetts. And, I mean, the rest was history. Now, James Clyburn, he's not willing to go that far for Vice President Kamala Harris at this point. Even though he was if I recall correctly, he was fairly influential in getting him to pick Kamala Harris, getting Joe Biden to pick him as a running, or pick her as a running mate.
Well, everything you heard was Clyburn basically told Joe, I can make you the guy, but you're going to have to do some things for me, too. Yeah. And that was one of them. That's what people had said.
Well, now Clyburn's like, don't put that stink on me. He was on Meet the Press and was asked if Kamala Harris is the future of the Democrat Party.
I see her as a part of that future. Absolutely.
Is she the future, though? Is she the future of the Democratic Party?
Oh, she could very well be. I think she is running a very good campaign. Her speech last night was great. And I look to her as a successor to this president. But I also know the history of that as well. It's not a given. You don't automatically move up. She'll have to compete going forward with whoever may have dreams and aspirations.
Whoever may come up. You don't know, right?
A little backhanded in the approach there.
I like the list of accomplishments, too, that he had for Kamala. She gave a good speech last night.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, okay, then. Yep, got to compete. That was just like everybody else.
That was a long way of him just saying, bless her heart.
Absolutely. Yep. It's like she had a chance. She did herself in.
Well, of course. We learned more and more about her. And the more we learned, the more we disliked her.
Well, not only that, man, and some people you're not quite sure. You heard all the rumblings. She was arrogant, okay, and could not be told how to do certain things. And then all of a sudden, her staff's gone. It's like one after another, either leaving or getting fired. Something is happening.
Yep.
She wasn't taking direction, and you don't know. Was she just not capable of learning how to do the gig? Or she really had already thought she had arrived, and she was going to dictate how it was going to go. Either way, it's been a disaster. And there's no coming back from it.
No.
Because we heard, what was that? It's been 2 years ago. They hired a special consultant for her just to be a normal person.
Yeah, and it didn't work.
No.
Some people are just not coachable.
It's absolutely true.
I hired a consultant to make her a normal person.
Like, just the way she talks to people.
It's like the way you said it was funny. Cause it's like, you need a consultant to be normal.
Well, a lot of these politicians, they lose touch with reality in these gigs for so long, and it's like, you just can't behave like a normal person anymore. And it's like, here, let's go back and figure this out.
She hasn't been a normal person for decades.
Yeah, she's been playing this role.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Also wanted to get to this. You had a clip of Joe Biden. What's this about, David?
Well, this is the guy who apparently must be the Democrats' nominee and continue to be president for another 4 years after his first term. Joe Biden this morning announced he was establishing diplomatic ties with the Cook Islands in the South Pacific and made this announcement about something.
Okay.
So today I'm pleased to announce we're working with Congress to invest $40 billion in our Pacific Islands Infrastructure Initiative. We call it the PI, anyway, it doesn't matter what we call it, but that's what it is. I was going to get back to acronyms, and I'm going to withstand not doing that.
Oh, buddy. Oh, man.
Whew. The PI, whatever.
It doesn't matter what we call it.
Here's $40 million, whatever. Shut up. Go away.
Boy, oh boy. That's just giving up.
Jeez.
It is. I'm sorry. It's reminiscent of possibly my favorite Biden clip of all time, when he's trying to take on the teleprompter and the words, and he can't do it anymore, and he just gives in.
If it holds near and dear to you that you like to be able to... Anyway...
Like defeated.
That's just
done.
That's a batter who just watches a curveball go right in the middle of the zone, right? And just says, all right, I'm going back to the dugout.
Doesn't look at the umps, not going to even try to argue. His knees got buckled and it's time to go. Yep, that's exactly it.
Yeah, but they keep running him out there.
Yeah.
Yep.
We call it the PI, anyways. It doesn't matter what we call it, but that's what it is.
Doesn't matter what we call it. Whatever.
It is what it is, okay?
Yeah.
Here's a $40 million check for whatever this is. PI. Blah, 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 blah.
That's astounding. And then you step back and say, that's the sitting president, dude.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. All right, we got to move on. It's that time of the show. Do it every day about this time. May not be the biggest story out there, but it caught your attention, which makes it worthy. Today, David, what's your story?
Oh, I love this one. Socialist Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah.
Says she's standing with the workers in the UAW as these workers are going on strike, targeting more. The way they're doing it is actually pretty remarkable, where it's like,
absolutely,
the automakers, the employers have no idea what shop is going to get hit next. And then it's like, all right, 38 more locations just on strike.
Yeah, for maximum effect.
Yeah. Keep everybody on their toes. Well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez stands with the workers, but it was pointed out on Face the Nation yesterday, her personal car is a Tesla, non-union made, that she's been driving for a while. She promised a year ago that she would trade it in for a union made electric vehicle, and she hadn't done that yet.
Huh. How'd that go?
Is it a problem with the quality? Is it a problem with the style? Is the market just not there?
No. Our car was purchased during the pandemic when before a vaccine had come out. So travel between New York and Washington, the safest way that we had determined was an EV, but that was prior to some of the new models coming out on the market that had the range available. But we're actually looking into trading in our car now. So we're looking into it, and hopefully we will soon.
You just answered a question that wasn't asked.
Yeah.
The question was, you said last year you were going to do the old trade-in and you didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because of COVID and no vaccine, we had to get that Tesla.
Yeah. What?
No, you said last year you're going to trade that Tesla in. What happened?
Yeah, I didn't understand that part. We had to get an EV because of the pandemic?
Yeah, because, well, they wanted to travel by private vehicle, I suppose, and... But again, like Jamie said, that wasn't the question asked. It was,
no.
You said you were going to trade it in for a union made. The reality is this, is that Tesla is pretty much the only electric vehicle on the market right now, the only fully electric vehicle on the market that you can drive more than 100 miles confidently. And, I mean, remember there was the NPR report where about the Energy Secretary, Jennifer Granholm, doing a road trip, and they had to meticulously plan it because she was driving an electric vehicle.
Right.
Because they didn't know how, they needed to know where all the charging stations would be ahead of time.
Yep.
To avoid breaking down on the side of the road. And even the NPR reporter said, yeah, outside of Teslas, EVs are not road trip vehicles.
Right.
You know.
But you should still get one to save the environment.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, I know that if you run out of gas on the interstate or something, they can bring you gas. Is there something that can, some electric vehicle that could come and recharge you if you run out on the side of the road?
I've seen a Tesla.
Is there one?
Yeah, okay. I've seen like a Tesla roadside van before. And it kind of made me laugh because it was a gas-powered van.
I don't know
if it does like a jump or if it's just about like if you have a flat tire or whatever. I have no idea.
Well, that's what I wondered. I mean, I wondered that because it's like, hey, I don't know. I mean, they can bring you gas. I do know that.
Or out of electricity. Sorry, folks. Yep. Get the tow truck.
Yeah.
Gas-powered tow truck.
Yep.
All right. What's your story, Scott?
My story today is the Biden administration has tapped Bill Nye to celebrate Climate Week. Bill Nye. The propaganda guy, he's not a scientist. He's never been a scientist. And there's an interesting thing I saw that said, the moment you find out that Dolph Lundgren is more qualified to be called a scientist than Bill Nye. Dolph Lundgren, B.S. in chemistry from Washington State. B.S. in chemical engineering from the Royal Institute of Technology in Stockholm, Sweden. An M.S. in chemical engineering, University of Sydney. And a Fulbright scholarship to MIT. Bill Nye. B.S. Mechanical Engineering, Cornell University. So Dolph Lundgren is more qualified to be a scientist than Bill Nye.
I must break you.
Yeah. And I think he's more likable, particularly in the Expendable movie, right?
Yeah, those are fun movies. I haven't seen the latest one. But yeah.
They should tap Dolph Lundgren as the science guy.
For my story, I see this in the Wall Street Journal, and I only bring it up to get your reaction, to see what you think of it. The name of the piece by Andy Kessler. Not Glenn, but Andy Kessler. Why is anxiety rising?
I saw this.
Yeah, because I sent it to you.
Oh, that's why. Okay. Thank you for that, by the way.
He talks about Olivia expressed despair due to climate change.
Yeah.
Badge is anxious when he thinks about the future. In August, a Montana court ruled that these and other youth plaintiffs have a fundamental constitutional right to a clean and healthy environment, which includes climate. Anxiety is on the rise and, rightly or wrongly, is blamed for everything. This recent federal survey reports 27% of respondents had symptoms of an anxiety disorder, up from 8% in 2019.
Jeez.
So when people say, yeah, I've experienced this, this, and this, what are we talking about? Feeling nervous, feeling a sense of impending danger or panic, increased heart rate, rapid breathing, sweating, trouble concentrating. So that's reported more than ever. Okay. Now, he gets off track, in my opinion, with this piece. He starts talking about Naomi Osaka and Simone Biles having anxiety. I think that's a different kind of thing.
Yeah.
Athletes.
Yeah.
Okay. But he did say this is mostly a United States problem, which he has seen blamed on social media, poor sleep, and previous underreporting. And yes, Instagram inflamed narcissism is a problem, but he thinks the rise is more than that. And he mentions extinction anxiety, that there are so many people freaked out about the end of the world and climate change. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's true?
Well, I think everything, particularly in like liberal media, whether that's news, whether that's movies and television, everything is designed to make you feel hopeless. Like what is a, like when's the last time, you know, you saw a liberal pundit go out of their way to make somebody feel good about the future?
Boy, that's well said. I think, listen, the people I talk to most of the time, you know, just friends, different circles, I don't hear people talking about I'm fearing the end of the world. But what this dude is saying, that's a younger person thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think my kids and their friends are that worried about it, but, you know, according to the different polling data out there, there are kids that are absolutely terrified of it.
Well, fear porn is a real deal.
It is.
I mean, it exists. I mean, if you absorb this stuff long enough, I understand how you would start to think that way.
And then COVID anxiety, he mentions.
Well, that was, yeah, of course.
Well, and that it could be coming back.
Well.
And that the fear that they're going to shut stuff down again. And I don't want to go through that
well,
again.
Well, remember the CNN body count every day?
Yeah.
I mean, that was frightening.
But for a younger person,
even
it
worse.
Doesn't mean I'm going to die. It means I'm going to be cut off from everybody again.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
But I think
my parents are going to die. My grandparents are going to die.
Yeah.
I think the answer to that is that if somebody tries to start locking down again, the answer is no.
Absolutely it is.
Not doing
Agree.
It.
And then he goes into status anxiety. And part of that is social media, but also it's like your pressure to get into this school and you've got to do all these things so the school accepts you and then they still don't accept you and all these different things. And then there's weed-induced anxiety, and it goes the concentration of THC in cannabis, what it was in 1995, 4%. By 2014, it was 12%. Many dispensaries are now 20%, and plenty of studies show that increases anxiety, that sort of thing.
I'm really glad my parents had no expectations of me. That made it much easier.
So, yeah, I mean, it's like you want to tell everybody, listen, chill out a little bit.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
Usually that
Unless
was...
you keep voting Democrat. Usually. Then we're all screwed.
Weed was good for that, wasn't it?
Well, yes, but now it's, well, now it's too much. The THC is too much. It makes you anxious.
Yeah.
Okay, much more to get to. Joe Biden did not say he's been to every mass shooting, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, my goodness. That and much more coming up. Yeah. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. So, Joe Biden's been to what?
Every mass shooting. I don't know if you knew that.
What are you talking about?
He's been everywhere, man. Joe Biden announced a new office to address gun violence. It's just a group of anti-gun activists led by Kamala Harris. But he explained why this was crucial.
All right.
It matters. And here's why. After every mass shooting, we hear a simple message. The same message heard all over the country. And I've been to every mass shooting. Do something. Please do something. Do something. Do something.
Do something.
I don't know if you heard Biden has a new cover song out.
Yeah.
I've been everywhere, man.
No kidding. I didn't realize he spent that much time on the south side of Chicago.
I didn't either. Just sneaks in and back out. He doesn't know what he's saying.
He doesn't. That's just an unhinged rant.
Yeah. Country. I've been to every mass shooting.
Okay. Just add that to the list.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the Federalist. They got a list going. It's like the 250 lies. And that'd be 251. Since he that's just been since he took office. One after another after another.
Sounds like this old man that used to be on my paper route just would yell at you for no reason. Just you put the paper in on Sunday and you'd start to hear him yelling things at you.
Do something! Do something! Just rambling?
Just rambling. Just rambling. Everywhere. Old man, yes. Harmless, just yelling at you.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds like fun.
Old Joe.
No one not done that. The history books will notice.
Of course. This is the Markley Van Camp and Robin Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Got to see your boy. He's not going to resign.
No, he's not.
Bob Menendez.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Scumbag. Unbelievable. He's saying, no kidding, he's saying that he went to the ATM or whatever, the bank took the money out. That's where the money came from.
Yeah, all the cash that was. Bob Menendez is the senator who's been accused of bribery, apparently, right after his previous bribery charges were dropped.
Bribery charge.
In 2018, he decided to get involved in some Egyptian businessmen. And was trading, you know, state secrets and whatnot, allegedly.
Some Egyptian energy board he was on.
Yeah, for, you know, gold and cash. And the feds say that they found a bunch of cash sloppily hidden throughout the house, including, like, stuffed into jacket pockets and whatnot.
Yeah. I mean,
just everywhere in the house. And it was $500,000 cash that they found. He says that he took them out of the ATM, that he routinely would go and take cash out of the bank.
And stuff it in his clothing?
Yeah, and hide it all around the house, as one does.
Okay. It's almost like, and I think it was Daily Wire News that said, this was like a parody.
It is.
Like you go in the house and there's just stuff, every gold bars and you know, cash in pockets, all this stuff. But no, and you've got different Democrats saying, yeah, you need to resign or whatever. Heck no, he's not going to resign. He's done this before and gotten away with it. So why not?
Paid cash for a Benz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something. And you keep talking about the wife.
Dude, I'm telling you.
What?
There was several thousand dollars spent on the front half of that one. The grill's been changed.
What do you mean? The front, like her face?
Augmentation of said breasts.
Oh, they should have done some facial work.
Well,
I'm here to help, not to hurt.
Well, there is a hint of Geddy Lee there. I did notice that.
Okay, you're talking about the front man from Rush.
Yeah. Well, if you look now, if you
and
look
you're
at
saying
her,
that she looks like Geddy Lee,
there's a hint.
I thought I was being
no,
rude.
No.
Holy cow!
Some people may find Geddy Lee as a woman attractive. I don't know.
Hold on a second.
Geddy Lee would find that offensive.
I'm sorry, but that's the first thing I thought of when I saw him.
Yeah, I see it.
Kind of a female Geddy Lee, right?
Yeah, I see that.
Okay. I'd have to see another picture to really get it. Are you talking about a honker like that?
Well,
a little mousy.
The eyes close set together, and
You know, she plays a mean bass, too. It's crazy.
That's what I hear.
Man, one of the greatest of all time, really? Wow.
But it's hard to play because there's money stuffed in her pockets. It's hard to...
I don't know how we got here now.
I don't either, but... I'm just telling you, there's some work that's been done.
I don't think so.
Oh, dude, come on.
No, I'm looking at pictures from years past. I don't know,
man.
You're talking about the fakies. You're not talking about work done on her face.
The fake.
The fake breasts. Call it what you want.
I like that.
The fakies.
Yeah.
Doctor, I'd like some fakies.
I'm trying to not go in the gutter with this.
No, it's okay. I understand what you mean. Yeah.
So that, and whatever.
Yeah.
Who? I'm guessing if you're going to D.C. and if you're going to go with everything, call out everybody with the fakies, it's going to be a long show.
Right, but these two deserve every bit of scorn they're getting.
It seems to be
every
so.
Little bit of it.
The only reason I brought it up is because when we're off air or, you know, there's coverage on this, you are going bananas on this. That guy, it's like, well, for whatever reason, it makes you more angry than so many others.
But the stones to stand up there and go, I'm going to be reelected. I went running for reelection. I mean, isn't that something?
Yeah, it is something.
I mean, you could say, look, I'm going to resign. This thing's a distraction, blah, blah, blah.
Just remember, though, the reason they're going after him is because he's Hispanic.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What he said over
okay,
the weekend.
Shut up about that, too.
Yeah. Meanwhile, David, you had an update on the border crisis.
Dude, so the feds have been slow-walking monthly numbers for a while now to the point where there have to be lawsuits threatened in order for them to actually release what they're supposed to be releasing to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So we finally got our hands on what the numbers were for the month of August. 304,000 people were encountered at the border.
Wow.
Crossing over. That is a new record. That is the population of Pittsburgh coming into the country in 1 month. Pittsburgh
asylum
proper,
seekers, of course. Because that's the way the media puts it out there. Yeah. Well, the asylum seekers.
Yeah, no, they're not asylum.
It's a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
Do we know the percentage of males?
I read one that it was over 70%.
They have to be, at least from the images, if you're just going by that. Yeah. All coming here so they can find their lady with Geddy Lee's face. Obviously.
Well, the first 100,000 got a Joe Biden bobblehead.
Right.
Good night, man. Wow. Okay. So, you know, while that's going on, we don't need the music of Russia. If we were going to do it, do we have to go New World Man?
He's married to a senator named Bob.
Okay. No, we've got all these asylum seekers, right? And you know everybody's staying. Did you see this story about the family in Tennessee that came here from Germany seeking asylum? Mm. It was allowed to stay for 15 years. They're getting booted.
Why?
Well, people are wondering exactly why is this?
Yeah, 15
they
years.
They left Germany because they want to homeschool their kids. They're Christian.
Oh, okay.
Can't do that in Germany.
Right.
It's against the law.
I don't think I knew that, but okay.
I didn't know that either until I saw this story. Well, I'll give you a little piece. They were covering it on Fox over the weekend. There's a little clip of, you know, trying to explain what happened.
You claimed asylum because homeschooling is illegal in Germany, correct? And you've been homeschooling here in the United States ever since.
That's correct, yes. And we were actually granted asylum first by the immigration judge here in the United States.
Yes. But then, you know what happened? The Obama administration said, wait a second, we're appealing that to the Board of Immigration Appeals. That's not asylum. Ha-ha. Nope, they shouldn't be staying here. Wow. And so they just got notice earlier this month. Yep, you're going to be deported. After they've built their life here for 15 years. You know, it's interesting. I'll see legacy media tell one of these stories. Unless we're talking about they left their country because they wanted to homeschool their kids with a Christian upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that defense very often. It's usually for someone else.
Right.
But, man, this is kind of crazy, isn't it? With everything going on? All the asylum seekers and you have this family?
Yeah, you have people who are presumably pulling their own weight, not relying on social services or anything else.
Not at all.
And it's like, yeah, they got to go. Just want to see the law applied equally to everyone.
That's it. But so often, you'll see where it's flat out not done that way.
Mm-hmm.
People are getting angry. Meanwhile, Joe Biden has put Kamala Harris in charge of guns.
Yes.
Which is, in a way, hilarious.
Yeah.
and not surprising. And he was talking about this new gun control counselor or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah, it's the federal gun violence response, something or other. It's a bunch of communists who want to disarm Americans. I mean, really, that's what it comes down to.
But they got to dress it up to make it sound like we really care about families of loved ones that have, you know, lost their life to gun violence.
Yeah. Well, Joe Biden trotted out his inspirational quotes again.
Oh, my goodness. What do we got here? Go ahead.
There's nothing beyond our capacity when we do it together. Nothing we've ever tried to solve, when we've done it together, we haven't succeeded.
Yeah, President Yoda over there.
Succeed we must.
Wasn't he like the, as vice president, his job to get it done and failed?
Yeah, he couldn't get
it. Didn't get the votes from his own party.
Right.
Because people forget about that. But there's never been anything that we haven't been able to accomplish. Well, there's plenty in your past, dude, if you look. But I guess he's not going to get fact check on that, is he?
Let me put Kamala in charge of it.
I'll just reiterate, I'm excited about that because judging how she's done on everything else, it means we're all getting free guns.
Yeah, that's true. Put her in charge of the border, that just means tons of people coming through.
Right.
Kamala's like working for the company where the dad keeps giving his kids, one of his kids a job, and he fails, and he can't really cut him loose. He just keeps giving him jobs. He just keeps failing.
Oh, man. I don't know if you heard about a new show that's coming in entertainment news. It feels like, man, the decline of Western civilization just keeps rolling. Did you hear about this show, Naked Attraction?
No.
Dating show?
Mm-mm.
People can choose a mate based on their naked bodies.
Oh, geez. Gosh.
Well, you'll watch it.
Oh, well, of course. But let me ask you a question, though.
Okay.
But there are very few people who, once you get to that point in a relationship, actually look better than they did when they had their clothes on. Just an observation. People generally tend to look better with their clothes on than naked, because naked shows all the flaws.
Oh.
Right? Just my thoughts, that's all.
Your thoughts or experience? I mean, what are we getting at here, Scott?
Well, maybe a little bit of both.
For the sake of your relationship, I would like you to stop saying things.
Current relationship, notwithstanding. No, of course not.
So you're saying it was like you're opening up this gift and it was nothing but disappointment.
Well, no, I'm just saying how many people have gone, well, I mean, you're basing your attraction on whether you like them naked or not? That's it?
That's this show.
Okay.
Yes.
Good luck.
Well, and it's going to be on HBO Max.
Oh, well, I don't have Max.
It's a British show, but, I mean, it's going to be on. And, yes, there's all sorts of language. And they said it is full frontal.
Ugh.
Yeah, and then apparently there's some women saying, well, this is too small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or this guy saying, this is too odd.
Right.
Or I don't like her feet or whatever freaky thing.
Right.
But there's a whole trailer that's making the rounds on this thing. If you want to hear part of it.
Of course.
In this dating show, we go back to basics.
Are you ready?
And start where a good date often ends. Naked.
Wow.
This is fantastic.
And could picking a partner based solely on their natural beauty
could be a grower.
Help us find the one.
I've never met anybody like this before and I don't know where to look.
Who are you going to pick for your date?
This is the hardest decision of my life. Oh my God.
Naked Attraction.
So I hear this and I bring it up for two reasons. Because in my head, I'm like, golly. We as a society.
We're doomed.
And at the same time, like, Robbins will absolutely watch this show.
Maybe I'll get Max now. I don't know. Maybe I will.
If it was on a network you already had, you'd watch it.
Well, I think I would, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people will at least sample it, right? Because, my God, who wouldn't? I mean,
and that's the problem.
I mean, the curiosity alone would kill you, wouldn't it?
Well, I think more than anything, what's going to be memorable about what we just talked about is you opening presents and being disappointed.
I'm just saying.
The
my take was on the female on that one when they first take a look at this.
All right. Yeah.
Like, okay, who would? I don't even like it.
It's horrible looking.
It is. It's mine.
Oh, boy. How about a government-owned grocery store? You like that idea? That and much more coming up. All right. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. We talked a lot about major American cities going downhill fast because of liberal policies.
Yeah.
And the Democrats that lead those cities. I see this from Daily Wire in Chicago. That new Democratic mayor, further left than Lori Lightfoot, Brandon Johnson, got an idea. Laid it out for people. City-owned grocery store.
Okay.
Be the largest of its kind in the United States because it's needed to address the exit of corporate grocery stores and promote food equity. If you think I'm making part of this up for parody's sake, I'm not.
No, you're
not. I'm reading right from it.
Food equity, huh?
Correct.
Okay.
Food access and security linked directly to environmental and racial justice. That's what it said in this press release. 37% of black residents and 29% of Latinx residents are food insecure, compared to 19% of residents overall.
What does that have to do with the grocery store? Because I always thought the food insecurity was about poverty.
Well, they argued that historic disinvestment has led to inequitable access to food retail across Chicago, and that existing inequities have been exacerbated as at least 6 grocery stores closed on the south and west sides over the past 2 years.
Yeah, because they kept getting robbed.
Yeah, instead of save a lot, it's steal a lot.
Well, the statement did not specifically mention shoplifting,
well,
which has jumped in Chicago by 25% over just last year.
You know,
Walmart announced the closure of 4 stores in Chicago's south and west side neighborhoods. That was due to a lack of profitability going back 17 years when they first opened in Chicago. It said these stores lose tens of millions of dollars a year, and their annual losses nearly doubled in just the last 5 years.
Well, of course. Yes. I mean, if owning a grocery store was profitable, people don't care where it's at. If it's you're making money, then they'll continue to stay there. There wasn't any money in it because they weren't making it because people were stealing.
Yes, but what about equity?
Well, equity and stealing?
You know, by the way, it says in the story, the city has yet to provide an exact estimate for the price tag of something like a city-owned grocery store. But it's notable that the mayor announced just this month that the city is projecting a deficit of $538 million.
Yeah, so let's do that. Okay, that'll work.
Wow.
Taxpayers are going to be on the hook for that. Hey, you people voted for this stuff.
Yes.
You voted for this nonsense. You knew what you were getting.
Well, you know, different people have looked at this and said, this is like Soviet-style central planning.
Well, of course it is.
Well, yeah, they're all communists.
Yes.
But people don't seem to realize it.
No, because, well, communists who have helped write grade school curriculum for generations now have, well, conveniently left a lot of communist history out of the public education system.
So that people wouldn't recognize it when it's actually happening to them.
In a sane world, the hammer and sickle thing would be on par with the Nazi swastika.
Yeah. Then you have people believing, well, if this guy just does what he does, then we're going to have food equity.
Right.
Oh, my goodness, man. Yeah. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
This is the Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Okay, David, biggest story today is what?
Biggest story of the day to me is 300,000 people crossing the border in August, and this month is probably going to be bigger than that.
Yep, exactly what the left wants.
Yeah, and the White House is out there saying, yeah, we're still getting extraordinary results on the economy. I know everybody's gone backwards, but whatever.
Well, they figure, well, these people are dumb enough to buy these other lies. I guess we'll just lie about something else. Why not?
As well.
We got to get to the education secretary, too, saying, doesn't have much respect for parents?
Yeah.
Wow. How about that? And did you hear what Hillary Clinton had to say over the weekend? Oh, it's hilarious. It's all coming up right here. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Okay. So the education secretary was speaking over the weekend, David.
Education secretary Miguel Cardona thinks that parents need to just shut up and do as they're told. He did this interview with the AP and talked about how in the good old days there was civility in school district decision making.
Well, you weren't trying to groom kids either.
No, right, exactly.
Got big difference, buddy.
There was civility.
Yeah.
We could disagree. We could have healthy conversations around what's best for kids.
Well, see, what happens is you try to convince a little boy he's a girl, and people are not going to be civil anymore. You deserve a beating, to be honest. But I'm not supposed to say that.
I respect differences of opinions. I don't have too much respect for people that are misbehaving in public.
I don't care who you respect.
And then acting as if they know what's right for kids.
No, parents know what's right for their kids.
You act like you know what's right for kids. Shut up.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, one of the most high-profile cases of a parent getting out of hand and, oh, this lack of civility was because the school district was gaslighting him mm-hmm. about his daughter being raped.
Correct.
So, yeah.
And he was arrested.
Also, there is some revisionist history being shared there, and I've heard it before from different people, whether it's teachers' unions, the federal government. I mean, half of one, six dozen, or six of one, half dozen of another. But I think there's been a lot of incivility at school board meetings over many, many years. I mean, this idea that everybody was coming together and singing Kumbaya all the time is just a lie. And I say that as somebody who, as a news reporter, covered multiple school boards. I mean, there is always tension because there are always parents who want something from their kids, something different for their kids. What has changed, though, is what they're mad about. You're not talking about maybe taking a music program out, or, you know, not having enough teachers, or spending too much money on a press box, or whatever.
Right.
Now you're talking about, like you mentioned, Jamie, teachers secretly convincing little boys that they're little girls, and vice versa. I mean, the stakes have been raised, and they've been raised by the public education system.
Right. That if you're, you know, a black child, well, you're doomed. Everything is stacked against you, and you're never going to be able to make it without the government's help. And if you're a white child, you're an oppressor. And the only way to stop being an oppressor is to do the work. But if you do the work and say, well, I'm not an oppressor anymore, then you're going to have to do more work because you can never get out of that role. There's nothing you can do. And yeah, parents are like, no, you're not going to teach my kid that.
Nope.
So, you know, this JA out there, well, I don't have any respect. Who cares what you think? People are going to protect their kids.
That's the problem.
Oh, yeah.
That's the freaking problem.
That guy was an absolute weasel from the moment he was introduced to the United States and went through the hearings and couldn't answer about, is it okay? I remember Rand Paul asking him, you know, a biological male competing against a woman. He would never answer the question.
Nope.
Just try to sidestep it. Yep, you do. You should just come out and say what you believe. But he wouldn't do it because he knows it's against what people really want. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton, you know where she made an appearance? It's not many people watch it, I don't think. Jen Psaki's show?
Oh, yeah.
MSNBC? Did you know Vladimir Putin stole the election in 2016?
Oh, my gosh.
Did you know he might do it again?
We're still on this?
Dude, I didn't know. I was like, when is this clip from? This was this weekend? Like, that whole thing was a real thing. So as I roll this out, David, you from your news background, please explain it to me, and I'll tell you when. Roll this as they start talking about Putin.
He has intervened in our election in the past.
Right.
It's not something, as you experienced firsthand, it's not something we talk about a lot. Do you fear that that is something that could be happening for 2024? And do you think we should be talking about it more?
Well, I think we should be talking about it more because I don't think, despite all of the, deniers, there's any doubt that he interfered in our election or that he has interfered in many ways in the internal affairs of other countries, funding political parties, funding.
Time out. By her saying interfere, it stole the election.
Well, also, yeah, we don't talk about it enough. Are you kidding me? Jeez. How many times have we heard Russian collusion and Russian interference and blah, blah, blah? The other thing is that their precious experts have looked at what Russia tried to do, and there's no question they tried to influence the conversations that were happening online. Yeah. But there is no evidence that it actually was effective at all.
But they're going to pretend that it was. So it's this thing, and nobody talks about it because it was debunked.
Right.
Please tell me I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah. The idea that Russia interfered successfully in the 2016 election has been thoroughly debunked. And both Hillary Clinton and Jen Psaki know that. But they're going to keep pushing it out because their lame brain audience doesn't know any better.
Well, the other thing that Russia and other countries do is they try to influence the conversation in America to turn Americans against one another.
Yeah.
They do better that way.
You know,
all right, they go on.
You know, political candidates buying off, you know, government officials in different places. So that is his opus, you know, his opus operandi in the sense that he hates democracy. He particularly hates the West, and he especially hates us. And he has determined that he can do two things simultaneously. He can try to continue to damage and divide us internally, and he's quite good at it. Mm. And sadly, he has a lot of apologists and enablers in our own country, people who either don't see the danger or dismiss it out of hand or maybe agree with some of the you know, positions he's taken.
What? Can you explain to me what she's talking about? And that he is going to influence the election again and it's going to try to give it to Trump?
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm like three crazy statements behind trying trying to figure this out. But
all right.
I mean, the
probably
idea
not
of,
worth our time.
Is she saying that U.S. officials have been bribed by Putin to steal an election that happened in 2016?
Seems vague. I mean, don't know if it's other countries or this country.
That's really what they do all the time. You know, when they say Putin apologists who stand up for Putin, a lot of times you'll hear like Tucker Carlson's name thrown out there,
right?
Things like that. But she says it in such vague terms that all you have to have seen is a post on Twitter or Facebook, a headline somewhere at some point, and you say, well, yeah, there are a lot of people out there who are like staunchly pro Putin or whatever.
And maybe this is completely out of context, the way my mind works on this. I just think about her as Secretary of State with the button, and it's like, we're going to be friends with Putin.
Yeah.
We're going to wipe the slate clean. Right? I remember Trump talking about that in the most hilarious way that Trump could do it.
Hillary Clinton did a reset. Remember with the stupid plastic button that made us all look like a bunch of jerks? Here, take a look. He looked at her like, what the hell is she doing? With that cheap plastic button.
Yes. So is she still bitter that she looked like a fool with the plastic button? Here's the reset button.
Well, she's intimating that it's right-wing media.
Oh, goodness.
It's certainly there. Yeah. But by the way, Trump does the cheap. Like, if it was a more expensive plastic button, it would have been acceptable, but it wasn't.
Meanwhile, you have something to bring up with Jen Psaki.
I do, actually, and the news, actually, part of it today is that the Biden administration is now accepting orders for at-home COVID tests, four per family.
Yeah.
You got to sign up on the old website, right?
Dang.
Yeah. And that
you
going
to get them, Scott?
No.
That has gone live today. And
you did before.
I bought them at QVC.
I thought you got them free.
I got two free. That's right.
Okay.
We did it on the air or something. I signed up for it, yeah.
See how long it would take.
It was like some kind of bit. But, yeah, I got two. But most of them I bought at the drugstore.
Didn't it take Scott, David, like, what, a month longer for him to get it than you? Something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, because he put the wrong address in.
Oh, that's right.
What address did I put in? I don't remember what I put. What did I put in?
I don't remember, but it wasn't the right address.
Yeah.
Why would I put in another address?
I don't know.
You got confused.
Huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Mom got several free ones, I guess, then.
Yeah,
probably.
Well, and remember, at the time, they all came out like a month after that the what was that Omicron or whatever wave?
Yeah.
Or Delta? I don't. Who cares? It was after a wave, and everybody knew it because it was December, and well, the White House at the time, December 2021, was asked, "Hey, why don't you just send out tests?" And Jen Psaki mocked the idea.
I totally remember that. Yes.
Why not just make them free and give them out to, and have them available everywhere?
Should we just send one to every American?
Maybe.
Then what happens if every American has one test? How much does that cost? And then what happens after that?
All I know is that other countries seem to be making them available for in greater quantities for less money.
Well, I think we share the same objective, which is to make them less expensive and more accessible, right?
Yeah. Well, you want me to give it out free for everybody?
Right. And now,
and then they actually did it.
Now, 2 years later, when nobody cares anymore, they're like, yeah, we're going to spend another $200 million pumping out more COVID tests.
And you got to do mail order again.
Right.
Oh, man.
I mean, if you did it through the Walgreens or the QVCs or whatever, wherever you are, I mean, they're certainly more efficient at things than the federal government is.
Oh, we certainly
let them handle it.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. No doubt about it.
Gosh, dang.
Thought this was an interesting story and an odd pairing, as far as I knew anyway. Justin Timberlake and Tiger Woods open a new sports bar together. Anyone see that one coming?
No.
No.
I know they both like golf. Maybe Tiger likes Justin Timberlake's music. I don't know.
The Timber Woods?
That's not what it's called, actually. It's called T-Squared Social.
There you go.
It's in the grand lobby of the Immigrant Savings Bank in Manhattan. It sounds like a cool place. 32-foot marble bar, lounge areas, and reservation-only box seats. It's got a bunch of golf simulators, duck pin bowling, and darts, and 35 TVs, including a 200-inch screen.
Oh, daddy.
Biggest in the city.
Yes.
Like I said, Justin and I thought it'd be cool to create a place that combines our favorite things and brings people together just to have a great time. There you go.
For all the guys and the three women that are there.
Well, if it's things that Tiger and Justin like, I don't think it's going to be short a lot of women. I'm sure there are going to be plenty of women there.
Who really jarred something loose, Tiger?
All right.
It's a bunch of... It'll be, yeah. It's going to be a pilgrimage for Perkins waitresses everywhere.
Exactly.
Some people are just never going to get that Perkins. They're never forgetting the Perkins waitress. That was the one that went... That was over the top in 2009 for Tiger.
Wow.
Okay. Mean Republicans are defunding misinformation research. What is this story? We'll get to that and much more coming up. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. This is kind of interesting, man, on the Fox News crawl right now. White House breach says Biden's 2024 campaign is in jeopardy.
Oh.
Just talking about the bad polling.
Well, yeah. It's terrible. I mean, how could it be good? I mean, even in these times, how can it be good?
I understand that, but in jeopardy? Would you say it's in jeopardy?
I think they want it to be in jeopardy. I think the Democrats want him out. I think they're going to do everything they can.
I don't know. I saw something from Nate Silver, the guy from 538.
Yeah.
A pollster, who was like, you know, the time for Biden to have basically dropped out of the race would have been like February. He goes, at this point, if they try to have some sort of coronation or some sort of contested convention or whatever next summer, it's like it's kind of too late at this point because everything has to, all the groundwork should be underway now for all of that.
But don't you get the feeling from the things that you've read? The power brokers of the Democratic Party want it to go this way. They really don't want a primary.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be kingmakers. And if they get Joe to whenever, if it's next February, March, whenever that might be, say, you know what? I just can't do this anymore. I want to. But cognitively, whatever. And that's when he's going to go out and spill the beans that, you know, he's senile or whatever and can't do it. Well, we don't have time to do a whole primary here. So, and then they just put in whoever, or that's, you know, later in the spring or summer.
Hmm.
Don't know.
I mean, anything's possible, I suppose.
We'll see.
But it's just, yeah, you start to hear the drumbeat, and it gets louder and louder.
It's just that headline, in jeopardy.
Right.
Like, what? Not yet. We'll see how it plays out.
When he got in the picket line, did he just stroll off in the other direction today? Anybody know yet?
No one noticed he was there.
No.
More on that later. Mean Republicans, David, are defunding what?
Oh, I love this. I absolutely love this story written up in the Washington Post. They're saying that academics, universities, and government agencies are having to overhaul or end research programs designed to counter the spread of online misinformation because there's been this legal campaign from conservative politicians and activists who accuse them of colluding with tech companies to censor right-wing views.
They did.
They did, and actually two different federal courts have said, yeah, they did.
Yes.
They infringed on First Amendment-protected speech. And as the story goes, disinformation scholars, many of whom tracked both COVID and 2020 election rigging conspiracies, have also faced an onslaught of public records requests and lawsuits from conservative sympathizers, echoing the investigations being led by Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio.
That's because they lied.
There has been a wave.
And they colluded?
Yeah. There has been a wave of fear among university academics, prompting several to take a lower profile to avoid scrutiny. One researcher who also worked in the Justice Department, there's no collusion there, not at all. It's a conspiracy theory. Left her gig and went to a private university where she wouldn't be subject to open records requests. And I think, good. Jeez. You should be afraid. After the crap y'all pulled, the so-called experts pulled in 2020, whether it was about the mostly peaceful riots, whether it was about COVID, or whether it was about the election itself, I hope you're afraid.
Yes, or vaccines. You took valid information and suppressed it. You took away people's First Amendment rights. You should be scared. Good. That is hilarious. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. News update, David Van Camp.
Oh, man. Okay. So Democrat Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey has been indicted for bribery. And apparently the current bribery scheme dates back to about the time where a previous bribery investigation was dropped. And so the guy said, instead of laying low, hey, I'm going to go to Egypt and start, you know, taking some cash and gold bars and whatnot from some Egyptian businessman. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He did a press conference today and was defiant, saying, I'm not going to resign, blah, blah, blah. And then explained one of the curious aspects of the federal indictment that's come down against him, which was that they found cash, like $500,000 in cash, stuffed in various places, such as jacket pockets and whatnot.
Which is amazing.
And here's him explaining it.
All right.
I have withdrawn thousands of dollars in cash from my personal savings account, which I have kept for emergencies and because of the history of my family facing confiscation in Cuba.
Oh, for God.
Now, this may seem old-fashioned.
What garbage that guy is. Just stop it.
Yeah.
My family oppression in Cuba, I'm reminded of that. Isn't this grandpa, great-grandpa, you know, stuffing money under the mattress because of depression?
Well, also,
this freaking nut.
Grandpa, great-grandpa wasn't riding around in a brand-new Mercedes-Benz.
Of course not. No.
I'm sorry, man.
It was this guy. I mean, I'm probably more pissed off about this guy than I have been on anybody for a long time, and that says a lot.
Why is it exactly?
I don't know, because it's weaselly stuff like this. Feel sorry for me. I only do it because, well, you know, mentally I remember what it was like in Cuba, and they're stealing money from us, and shut up. You were
and the
you
only
were
reason
crook
they're going
and
after
you got
me is
caught.
Because I'm Hispanic.
Yeah, you got caught. You were jamming money in the pockets. I mean, like an idiot, because you didn't want anybody to trace the money. You dope. Of course, at gold bars. As David pointed out several times today, they're home Googling how much it's worth. He and Getty, that he's married to.
It's a reference to Getty Lee. Getty of Lee. The band Rush.
She looks a little like Getty Lee. And I love Getty.
Okay.
I'm just, dude, this guy. And the thing about this guy is he's not going to resign and probably nothing will happen to him. I mean, the cynic in me goes, well, what's going to, well, he knows that. He's going to stand up and be all defiant-y and they're coming to get me because I'm Cuban. The only reason I tucked money away and around my house hid it was because, well, I remember what it was like when Castro's people kicked the door down and stole all our money. Shut up.
Yeah, this is a great rant, man.
This guy, but this guy, no kidding. What a weasel.
Well, of all people, John Fetterman said, dude, it's time for you to resign.
Yeah, Fetterman and I agree. Holy hell, what's wrong with this world?
Oh, I don't think you should resign.
Oh, it's going to be more fun watching him not resigning.
Right. Well, that, and also, I mean, again, he's been charged.
Oh, come on. Okay.
But he hasn't been convicted.
No, not yet. You're right.
So why should he resign?
There's no reason to. There's no shame in what he did.
Because he's going to fight it. I think a lot of people are saying resign because it's like they have the goods on you, right, dude. We all know who you are. You're freaking guilty.
I mean, and besides that, who makes that up? Who goes, yeah, and there was money jammed in the pockets of his suit coats. They don't make that up. They found it there. Nobody believe it if you made it up. They'd go, come on.
Okay.
But this freaking guy. But also the feds lie.
That's true.
I mean, I'm just saying there are a lot of people saying that Trump should drop out of the presidential race because he's under federal indictment like a couple times over. And I don't
You're just winding Robbins up right now, David, for sport. I can see.
I know he's doing it. Okay. I know what he's doing. I'm on to him here.
No, you're not wrong.
No, you're not wrong.
Like,
but
just when I'm getting into, like, all right, we're going to switch on. We're going to move on to something else.
This guy.
He keeps saying that. I'm thinking, okay, that's it. And then you just keep piling on, David.
But they always go with the freaking race issue. When all else is fails, go after the fact that the only reason they're doing this is because I'm Cuban.
Okay.
Gosh dang.
Moving on, you know, we got a crisis at the border. And one of the things that we found out, you know, through time is, well, it's not just the left seeing, man, there's our future voting block. We want these people to come in. For a long time, we've known corporations, they like the cheap labor.
Oh, yeah.
Well, wait a second. Corporations, they pay a fair wage, don't they? What? Did you see the story? I think the New York Times Magazine had it, even Wall Street Journal, that the poultry giant Purdue Farms, you know, in Tyson?
Yeah.
Under federal investigation over child labor. This probe has followed a report that poultry suppliers used contractors that employed migrant children as young as 13.
Oh, boy.
Like working an overnight shift. Now, Purdue and Tyson said they would cooperate with any federal investigation. They said they didn't know kids were working in their plants. You know, we outsource the cleaning to sanitation firms.
Oh, how do you know? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't know. We didn't know.
They're saying that, well, that may not matter. You're going to be held responsible for
this. Right, even if you didn't know. Right.
Okay, and when I see this story, all I could think about, I played this clip the other day, was Victor Davis Hanson from the Hoover Institute. And this was a couple of years ago, talking about, you know, the many reasons we have this problem of people just waltzing right in. And we basically have had open borders for the last 2.5 years. Part of that, he was talking about the corporations in general. Listen to this.
They're vulnerable. They're worried about their immigration status. They work very hard. Compared to rural Mexico, the United States is a paradise. They're happy to get wages at 3 or 4 times, even though the wages are lower than what we pay American citizens. So the corporate establishment has been a big advocate of open borders. And it's been very hard to write op-eds for the Wall Street Journal or talk to the Chamber of Commerce because they feel that immigration, even if it's illegal, is very good for their own bottom line.
So it's like when you're wanting to close up the border, you're fighting more than what you actually think you're fighting. Like, why don't we just close it? Because there are so many people interested in keeping it open.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's beneficial to them.
Yeah.
It's killing the middle class, and it's killing the U.S. citizen. But a lot of people in power don't care.
But like Tyson and these other places, I mean, hell, there's no punishment to the Uyghur Muslims for making shoes when they're 8 years old.
What, you mean in China?
Yeah, we don't care about that. We don't care that that's going on.
Well, no.
Care less.
No.
I'm going to crack down here, though.
But they don't crack down here. That's the problem.
No, I know.
What
they make examples of, right.
Yes, it shouldn't be happening at all.
No, it should never happen. But my God, man, we know it's happening all over the world.
Yes, it is. But we're supposed to be different. It's what we claim
right,
to be.
Yeah, I know.
Man. So are you for the child labor?
Only if they're making shoes. No, I'm kidding.
Golly.
That's a joke. Come on. No, I'm not for child labor. Who's for it?
Well,
my dad was for it.
Yeah, define child labor for a minute.
That's what I was going to say. It's a little bit different because if, you know, and now we're sounding like really grandpas here. Back in my day, but it's still, I mean, rural kids to this day work on farms all the time.
Yeah.
That's part of helping out the family.
Put up hay when you were 14.
Oh, you're 13. Younger than that.
Walk beans.
Well, you
detest the corn.
As soon as you could drive the tractor.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be useful. Yeah. I mean, that was just part of it. And I think it made you better as a person. You learned to appreciate, you know, what you actually earned, and you realized early on, I don't know that I want to bust my hump like this for the rest of my life.
No, it wasn't for me.
That's work.
That was too much work.
It was a lot of work. So, I mean, you know, is it okay for a 14-year-old to work if they choose to want to work at a specific place? I mean, you can have that conversation, but this is completely different because these people are not actually making what they're supposed to be making either. And they're forced to do it. Okay. Oh, my goodness. I'm looking at the different things, David, to bring up. Let's just get this out of the way. Eric Swalwell, you're going to send Robbins over the edge.
Eric Swalwell. So Joe Biden's poll numbers are in the basement because he's not very good at being president, and everyone knows it. But according to Democrat Representative Eric Swalwell, the polling is only bad because conservatives have tricked people.
What?
Republicans, you know, will continue to tell lies about President Biden. And that's in part why I think his approval rating is as low as it is that they tell these lies. We don't punch back hard.
Hold on a second. Half the country never understands what a Republican has to say because it's never done as far as legacy media. Where would they ever hear it to be brainwashed? Yeah. By what this dope is saying.
Tell these lies. We don't punch back hard enough. We play on our side of the field rather than theirs. And then on the right-wing media ecosystem, it just reinforces those lies. And then they use the low poll numbers to justify why they're going to lean in even more.
Uh-huh.
The right-wing media ecosystem.
Yes.
Do you suppose when it comes time to send one of these morons out in the media to convey whatever message, the more ridiculous the message, like, hey, there are going to be some of these guys we could call up and say, hey, would you go on the shows this week? They're going to push back saying, hey, I can't do that. Don't ask me to do that. Mm-hmm. But Swalwell, he'll do whatever we say.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we got that guy over a barrel.
Yeah, and the minders are happy as long as he doesn't crap himself on live television.
Like he did that one once. Time.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy slept with a Chinese spy. We can pretty much go out and tell him to say whatever we want.
Well, he'll only do it if he's between meals.
Can't do it today, Bob. I just had Taco Bell.
Right. No, exactly. Gosh. No, can't do it.
Oh. Speaking of Biden, and we just saw the polling out there, 59% of voters have major concerns about his mental competency. That's not just conservative voters. That's general.
Oh, yeah.
Most Democrats don't even want him out there. Okay. But as far as his mental capacity, what did he say the weekend?
Well, he's talking about gun control over the weekend. And, well, he tried to make it clear that what he was planning to do.
Oh, okay. Roll it.
And by the way, I was the guy along with a woman in California who also, we once banned assault weapons and multiple magazines. We're going to do it again.
What?
Mumble magazine.
Mumble poopy.
What was that?
What?
Yeah, I traded in my mumbling magazines, you know.
Banned assault weapons and multiple magazines. We're going to do it again.
Multi-bubble magazines. New from Magpul.
Banned assault weapons and multiple magazines. We're going to do it again.
Yeah, got it. Okay. All right. I got nothing else except a news update straight ahead. All right. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Did see a Daily Wire. Investigator working for Georgia's Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis accidentally shot and wounded herself with a firearm. According to authorities, going to be okay.
How'd that happen?
Said it's not serious. We're not sure. They're gathering information, David.
Mm-hmm.
The courthouse. But it was a shooting incident at the county courthouse. They said no active threat. Then they had a post on X that said the shooting was an accidental discharge by the district attorney's office investigator. Not publicly identified, but wounded herself.
Oh, boy.
Hmm.
Again, said she was not critically wounded.
Hmm.
Apparently shot herself in the leg.
So she was like
paramedics got there
messing with her holster or something, or didn't have the gun actually seated correctly, and boom.
It could be.
Yeah.
Well, every time I hear a story, as long as they're okay.
Yeah.
I think about that dude that accidentally, he was actually doing a video on gun safety shot himself and then said, I bleeping shot myself.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big thing for a while, and then they put the remix songs to it and everything else, if you remember.
I just shot myself.
Yes. As long as they're okay. See, I knew that'd make you laugh.
I know what's coming, too, and it doesn't matter. Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
boy.
Goodness.
Now, what you want to do is make sure it's fastened properly in the holster. Boom!
Yeah. Yes, that's what he had said.
Yeah.
I'd play the actual clip, but I think the cussing's taken out of that.
Oh, no.
Did you know? I just shot myself.
Yes, he was very mad.
Oh, son of a I just shot myself. Yes.
Again, if seriously wounded, not funny.
Yeah. No, he was walking off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, golly.
Painful.
Can't believe it.
Yeah.
Bleepity bleep. Yes. If, what is the stat? Okay, it's like the uncomfortable truth to bring up, and you don't know exactly when to bring it up.
Oh.
Is the uncomfortable truth?
You want to... you're pointing out the fact that this investigator was female. And
well, you've mentioned this before, the stat...
That I don't have the numbers right in front of me available, but yeah, there is a pretty big discrepancy between male and female police officers and negligent discharges.
Is there a theory behind why?
There's a few. It's one of those weird things. I don't know if it's just because it's not as normal, like, or at least it's fairly new still, relatively speaking, for female officers to be on beat or something. Or there's a certain panic level that happens when you're faced with a suspect who is statistically probably bigger than you.
Got it.
I mean, but you've seen a lot of stories. I mean, anyway, there's the rate of negligent discharge with female officers is higher, adjusted for the number of female officers versus male officers. It happens to dudes too, obviously, but it seems to be a bigger problem. There's a rant I had read a few weeks ago of a guy who was like, if you're ever in a situation where you have a confrontation with a police officer, I hope to God it's not a woman officer.
Oh, man.
Yikes.
But there was that high-profile case, I forget where it was, where the dude was running away and she went for her taser but grabbed her sidearm instead.
Oh, yeah.
It happens. I mean, fairly
frequently. She went to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still in jail.
Yeah, I didn't think she should have gone to jail, to be honest. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Okay,
Biggest story today, David.
Biggest story of the day to me is 300,000 people crossing the border in August alone.
Golly.
Again, when you really compare it to a city, a major American city, that is the population of Pittsburgh proper that crossed into this country illegally or through this bogus parole program that the Biden administration has put out there in one month.
Know, one of the things about it, because we'll feel the effects of this for years to come.
Oh, sure.
What's happened in the last 2.5 years has changed the country forever. But the amount of Americans that have no clue that that's happened is astounding. Like, well, yeah, I know some people come across, but it's not changing. We'll get to a news update and the Scott Robbins trifecta next, right here. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley. I'm the Gen Xer. David Van Camp, the Millennial. The sexy boomer in the A's hat.
Yeah, green Scott shirt, Robbins. Green hat today.
Got it. I'm
not exactly jumping on a bandwagon there.
No, I guess not. We got your trifecta coming up. First, news update. Apparently, the Biden administration has lowered the cost for American families?
Yeah, the White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, was asked about the absolute dumpster fire of polling results that have come out about President Biden. A lot of people don't like him. A lot of people think he's senile because, well, he's senile. And a lot of people are really worried about their personal finances because that's all gone backwards.
Correct.
So she was asked, how concerning is all of this for the president?
Here's what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on exactly what you just asked me, right? The first question, which is how do we continue to support the workers, right? We're not going to get into the litigation of the negotiations here, but what we're going to do is continue to show how much this president is working for American families. You just heard from Secretary here, who laid out what it means if there's a shutdown and why it is so important for Republicans to keep to their deal. That's what we're going to focus on. You see, the Bidenomics, I get it. I get that Americans right now, they've been through a lot, right? They've been through the pandemic, this global pandemic that we're coming out of. They have been through what we've seen because of Russia's war in Ukraine. And we saw inflation spike. We saw what's going on with what Americans are feeling every day. This is why. This is why this president has been so zeroed in, so laser focused on lowering costs for Americans. And we've done that.
No, you haven't. They've gone up. I hate the pandering crap of we're holding American families' hands through this hard time. They've been through a lot, and that's why we're laser focused. You're frauds. Everything you have done has butchered the middle class and the American citizen. And people aren't that dumb. They just don't believe what you're selling.
Biden's laser focused
on the economy and working hard for families. Stop with that.
Well, I don't think there's a whole lot of focusing going on, period.
You know, and the whole thing with the border, just the ongoing issue that we're going to be paying for decades. I'll never forget when she got herself tied up in knots trying to answer that question.
We are doing everything that we can.
No, you weren't.
To make sure that we follow the process that's been put forth. That's why we have historic funding to do just that, to make sure that to make sure that.
Yep.
Wow.
To keep the border open.
We're in good hands.
Yeah. The adults are back.
It's all right.
Okay, Robbins, are you ready for your big three?
Yeah, let's go. All let's right. have fun.
I think Casey is ready to go. Roll it out.
Are you ready?
One, two,
it's the three most important news stories of the day.
I hit the trifecta.
Well, at least according to Scott Robbins. It's the trifecta on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
Every day about this time, Scott Robbins' top three stories of the day, the trifecta.
I'm Casey Kasem.
I waited for you to come over this weekend. Not at all. Didn't show. Nothing. No call. Nothing. Nothing.
Gotcha. I'm ready.
Dang guy. Never.
Three.
Number three. I know this isn't exactly breaking news, but it's another brick in the wall here. Baltimore schools are in a lot of trouble.
Man, if you happen to live in Baltimore, if you're looking for something else to be incensed about, I have it for you here. I mean, you got the rampant crime. You got the government corruption, but also have the public schools. Kids are back in class for the semester, at least some of them are. A public activist group has conducted a review of the latest round of state standardized testing. This is across the city's 13 schools. 40% of the schools failed to produce one student who tested proficient in math. One, not one.
40% of them. Wow.
Not one. Most of the others didn't produce many, a couple of them here and there. This has resulted in some understandable outrage, with one public education activist saying that we are witnessing a case of educational homicide, quote, post quote. They say parents are now starting to show up at school board meetings and calling for heads to roll. Of course, we all know that's violence.
Well, is someone going to say that it's also racist?
Oh, I'm sure that's coming. Yeah, well, of course.
This has been pointed out many times.
I read this story, though. I read it twice. 13 Baltimore schools have zero students passing math proficiency. 13 have zero.
That was one of the things Larry Elder talked about.
How is that possible?
It's crazy, man.
Instead of a lot of it has to do with the fact that kids just don't show up for school.
Yes. That's right.
Nobody's telling them they got to go to school.
Correct. But man. What was it? You had, was it black mayor, black police, head of police?
Yeah.
Head of the teachers union. Everyone in a leadership position has been black. That's at least as I remember from Larry Elder talking to Charlemagne the God.
Yeah.
But still saying it's racist. What's going on there? And people are scratching their heads going, I don't understand.
No, I mean, it's just low expectations. Some people call it the soft bigotry of low expectations.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's soft. There's nothing soft about it. It is straight up bigotry. And I don't know about just in the case of Baltimore, but elsewhere, one of the things that different states are doing is lowering the standard as to what is considered passing. So I had a conversation with a teacher over the weekend about this, where what is considered passing on the current standardized test is 35% out of 100.
Holy smokes.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
That's considered passing, but you may need intervention. So it's like 35 to 50 is technically passing, and that would be considered on a spreadsheet to be you're pretty much at grade level. Over 50%, well, you're on level. I mean, and
wow.
So even in a lot of these cases, the expectations have been lowered and kids still can't meet it.
Okay, this might sound crazy. This is not well thought out. It's just something that came to my head from a couple of things that I was watching over the weekend. If you took a group of former Marines, just former military, and say, well, what they can't, you know, we've got kids of color here. Okay, ex-Marines that happen to be people of color, and you put them in charge of the school system for 12 years, starting with kids as they enter, I guarantee you the outcomes would be so much better. Agree or not?
I'm willing to try anything. Why not? Give it a go.
I'd just say anybody who's willing to enforce discipline.
Yes, that's
anybody
what I'm
at
saying.
All who's willing to enforce discipline and willing to enforce a minimum level of expectations would be able to do a pretty good job.
Because I would bet anything. All those kids are capable. You know they are. But they have to be led in the right direction. Wow, man.
Well, again, I mean, when we talk about this, too, I mean, yeah, this is a parent issue. And I mean, how do you change that? How do you cultivate that? How do you put somebody else in charge of getting the kids out of the house? I don't know.
It's societal change.
It has to be.
But at school, if you had the discipline there, it would certainly help.
We're getting closer and closer to number one.
Yes, the Scott Robbins trifecta, top three of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Up to number
two.
Rand Paul has responded to some AI generated photo.
This thing was all over the place this weekend. Now, if you remember, go back a couple of days here, Chuck Schumer changed the Senate dress code to accommodate John Fetterman, right? Because John doesn't like to wear pants.
Yes, he gives him the sads.
And the move has sparked a lot of comments, most of them pushback on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Among the worst of the comments, though, came from Fetterman, who called people grabbing the hog, humping a leg, jagoffs, the whole nine yards. Senator Susan Collins joked she's considering wearing a bikini. She said there's no dress code anymore. Somebody else suggested, how about putting on Let's Go Brandon t-shirts and just running around the Senate with those on? Rand Paul, this was interesting, sparked a little speculation as to what you could wear, and there was a post that was started by Jeff Charles of The Awful Pundit. He's a satirist. Gave a lot of people a good laugh. Rand Paul showed up for work at the Capitol barefoot in a red bathrobe after his Senate dress code change. Now, it showed Rand Paul sitting on the steps of the Capitol in a red bathrobe, right, with no shoes on. And damned if I wasn't fooled by it, and a lot of other people.
Did you share it?
Yes. but it got sent to me by like two sources. Have you seen this? And I look at it and go, oh my gosh, this is so wild. And I should have known, like, would Rand Paul really do this? But then again, there was another side of me that said, yeah, Rand Paul would do this, right? Not that hard to believe.
Just so, to make a point.
So finally, it was revealed it was AI generated. But oh, damn, man. It was insane. It got 6.7 million impressions, by the way.
Now, on with the countdown.
AI is scary, man, because, I mean, that thing fooled a lot of people, including myself. Yes.
All right.
I took it down, by the way.
Trifecta. Yeah. Top three of the day up to number
one.
Number one, California's ban on tobacco products have reduced funding for the children.
Well, yeah, 25 years ago, California enacted something they called Proposition 10, a very aggressive anti-smoking campaign, referring to tobacco, not the weed, but it was called the First Five program. It increased taxes on cigarettes incredibly. Much of the proceeds then were directed to a variety of programs and new agencies aimed at helping families who are raising kids. These included things such as preschools, pediatric health care, the Literacy Project, widely considered a success. There's a problem, though.
What?
Smoking rates have dropped considerably. And they just got rid of snuff, too, just recently. So they don't have enough money to fund these wild programs they put in place. And so now, of course, they're in a dilemma. There is some talk that Gavin Newsom, perhaps invoking the Marlboro Man, putting on the chaps and the hat and having a big heater in his mouth.
So, man, you need open people drug to, use everywhere.
Right, yes.
You but need the money people, for the kids and the smoking.
They right. weren't making any money.
Right. Well, I know. But we get it.
Got to start smoking. Put down the crack pipe. Get a pack of Marlboro Reds. For the children, of course.
Do it. And there you have it.
Yes, the Scott Robbins trifecta. Well done, Scott.
Yes.
Good stuff. All right, we got to get to another news update. And Nimrod's in the news. Awesome dandies today, man. A couple of preteens stole their mom's car. You know why? We'll tell you. Straight ahead. The Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. Thank you for being here. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. News update, David Van Camp.
You all seen the controversy from our neighbor to the north, Canada?
Because, which one?
So they had Zelensky there for a parliament thing, and they recognized a 98-year-old guy who was Ukrainian in attendance and saying, well, he fought for the Ukrainians in World War II. And they celebrated it, and then somebody did a little bit of fact-checking and said, well, wait a minute, if he was fighting for Ukraine against Russia in World War II, that means he was literally fighting with the Nazis.
Yeah.
He was a Nazi, actually.
Yes.
And so there was a lot of backlash. The Speaker of the House of Commons has apologized for the short-sightedness of that. And I think in a little bit of fairness, there is some nuance to that with Ukraine. I mean, you picture this guy is 98 years old, so he would have been about 17 or 18 at the time of World War II. And 10 years before that, the communists in Russia had literally had caused a famine to punish Ukraine.
And like you fight or die.
Around 5 million people died during the famine that was planned by Stalin in 1932, 1933. And so there were a lot of people in Ukraine who, when the Nazis showed up, they were under the impression, well, wait, you're putting a gun in my hand and saying I can go kill communists? Great, sign me up. So, yeah. Again, there's nuance to it. It's a terrible look, but it wasn't like they tried to honor a guy who was manning a guard tower at Auschwitz. I mean, there's a difference there.
Yeah, good point. I did see something about the war in Ukraine right now, and one of their big issues is getting men of fighting age to actually fight. Yeah. They've ran. Where they try to pay off the government, like, if I give you this much, will you just leave me alone? And some just, they never answer the call. Just refuse.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty much an issue. All right. Got to get the Nimrods. Roll it out.
When the going gets tough.
Damn it, this is too hard.
The dumb get dumber.
All right, Dan.
It's Nimrods in the News on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
I love the poorly educated.
All right. Nimrods News, we start in Florida. Police pull over a stolen car. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. They discover the driver, 10-year-old boy. What? His passenger? His 11-year-old sister.
No boy.
They were the car thieves.
Mm.
They stole their mom's car.
Ugh.
You know why?
No.
They were a little upset with mom. She had taken away some of their electronics.
Mm. So we steal the car?
We've had enough of this dump.
Oh, man.
So they were gone. Took off, 10 years old. Wow. They had driven more than 200 miles before they were pulled over, more than 3 hours away from home. I was like, what was the plan? I'm not quite sure. Just going to get out of there. So the mom then picks them up. Now, what kind of charge do you suppose there is on something like that?
None.
I mean, if you're 10 and 11, you steal right. the family car, you do this, you're in serious trouble.
With mom.
I would assume, yeah.
Officers say it's just a traffic violation.
Yeah, there's not much you can do.
They're not going to be charged. You wonder, I want a follow-up. What's mom going
to
do?
Well, how's a 10-year-old know how to drive 200 miles?
The part we don't know is you could learn how to drive a vehicle very young if you're in a rural area.
Well, yeah, if you're driving around.
But then, I don't know, YouTube tutorial? Not quite sure.
Jeez.
All those video games they've been playing.
Could be.
It's possible.
Another Nimrod out of California, Santa Rosa, 34-year-old Jesus Carino Ortiz. He had run out of booze. The problem is, as he hops in the truck to go to the liquor store, he must have been so excited he crashed into the liquor store.
Oh, no.
Yeah, just forgot to hit the brakes. He was pretty banged up after the crash, but still managed to get out of his truck and walk into the store and tried to buy more booze. Yeah. Guy was 0.32.
Oh, boy.
If he's on your drinking team, that guy's a gutty competitor, huh? He's been arrested for all sorts of charges, and that's Nimrods in the News.